strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks for being here. Joining me in studio, Governor Doug Ducey. Governor, welcome back.
Great to be back in studio.
How does it feel to have your final session as governor end?
Well, it was a very successful session. We still have 179 days left, so this won't be my farewell address, Mike, but it was a great session, a lot of capstone projects that we were able to do, a highly conservative budget with the rainy day fund topped off, millions of dollars in debt that's been paid for, and there's a couple other things I know you want to address.
Yeah.
So I won't get ahead of the interview, but
yeah, so
there's plenty left to do.
Yeah, but some of the accomplishments in most people's minds, it's huge what you've done with water, what was able to get done with you in the legislature. What's going to happen with that investment?
This is a $1 billion investment in Arizona's future. We want to take care of water for Arizona for the next 100 years. There's flexibility around the fund, and of course, with resources, we can bring in more water to the state. We can also add conservation. But I was recently in Israel, and the only place in the world that's better at water than Arizona is Israel. As good as Arizona is, you know, we use less water today than we did in 1957. We need more water with our responsible growth. So what's on the table right now is the largest desalination project in history. Anywhere around the globe. We're working with Israel desalination engineers, and there's more to follow on this, but what this fund is going to allow us to do is to complete this contractually between now and the end of the term. So there's more to follow, but this puts us in the driver's seat to finish the deal.
But is that going to raise the rate for water? A lot. Are we going to pay a lot more in the long run with water because of that?
Well, first, I want to thank Speaker Rusty Bowers for his leadership on this. And the idea is to make a market for water. When you need more water, you want it to be available. Our water is very affordable and accessible in Arizona. And the idea of having augmentation on the water with more supply brings costs down. We're going to be the big boy of the lower basin states in terms of water. Right now, we're the little brother. We're going to have water that we can sell to other states to supplement and bring our costs down. So I believe it will remain affordable and accessible.
All right, let's talk about being sued for our voter ID law. Where do you think that's going?
Well, we'll see in court. Mr. President, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Everybody knows that you have to present voter ID, you have to be a citizen, you have to be a resident, and you should be alive on the day that you vote. In Arizona, we make it hard, if not impossible, to cheat and very easy to vote if you are a citizen. If the Biden administration wants to challenge that, we'll see them in court.
Let's talk about the ESA program, or what's known as the voucher program. Everybody, it seems, on our side of the aisle is raving about Arizona now being the leader in education choice. How do you feel about this decision that was made and this law that's now enacted?
Arizona is the gold standard for educational freedom. These are education savings accounts, ESAs, something people are going to hear a lot more of. So everybody listening that has a child, when this law goes into effect, will have access to their taxpayer dollars to send their child to the school of their choice. Now, they may be very happy where they are right now because we have excellent K-12 schools in Arizona, but we also lead the nation in educational choice. 525 charter schools, 230,000 children that choose those schools of choice. Now parents will have availability up to $7,000 to educate their child, whether that's a tutor, textbook, tuition, whatever's in the interest of the child. We're the number one state in the nation for this educational freedom. Other states are going to be following us. And this is the way to truly reform K-12 education, to focus on math, reading, science, American civics, character formation. It's all there, and Arizona's going to lead the nation.
What about homeschoolers? What does that $7,000 mean to families at homeschool?
Wide open for homeschoolers. So if they need this for textbook, curriculum, tutors, that's available to them.
So this truly is giving the power back to the parents where they spend their children's education dollars.
And with this, I really believe the Republican Party can be the parents' party. We're going to be in the side of the family and the parents so they can best educate their children. We saw a lot throughout COVID. We saw what was happening in parts of our educational system. Parents want to push back on that. They want to see more rigor and accountability for their children. Now they're going to be in charge.
The pushback from teacher organizations is that it's going to weaken the some of the public schools that are in neighborhoods that can't afford to be weakened.
This is going to strengthen our public school system. Public education is about educating the public. The public will be better educated with ESAs. It's not teachers that are pushing back on this. This will bring more dollars to teachers, and I want to see our teachers get more money. We put more money into K-12 education, and in the signing letter, we want to see those dollars go directly to teachers. That's from government organizations. That's from union organizations that have wanted to stop choice and flexibilities and want to ice parents and families out.
All right, so let's talk about Roe v. Wade coming back to the states. And there's a lot of confusion out there between people and what laws take effect, this 1901 law or the law that was just passed. Where are we in Arizona with those laws, and where can we get clarity on it?
Well, I think you know where I stand. I'm proudly pro-life. I ran on a platform that I want pro-life with exceptions for life of the mother, rape, and incest. I signed a law in this session that provides abortions for 15 weeks. That's similar to other states around the country. Roe v. Wade was not struck down by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court took a neutral position on it, which was likely what they should have done 50 years ago and left this to the state so this could be solved democratically. You know, Mike, there's a reason we've been arguing about the same single issue for half a century, because it wasn't supposed to be decided at the judicial level. It's going to be decided at the state level. There's going to be a challenge, whether it's the 1901 law or the law that I signed in this past session. And I'm going to leave that up to the courts.
Are you concerned about the ballot initiative that is they're trying to get signatures for now that would supersede all of this and then put it in our Constitution? You concerned about that?
Well, I'm always going to be on the side of life, and I want to protect life. And I'm not sure about the specifics of that ballot proposition, but this does come now back to the states. So whether people are pro-life or on the other side of this issue, they need to stay engaged, because that's going to determine where Arizona is. The courts will rule on whether it's the 1901 law or the law that was signed in this past session. But there's still more to do on this issue. And I think there's also more to do to help women in crisis, to provide for adoptions and more foster care, so that we can support young children, we can support mothers in need, and walk alongside people that need help.
All right, I want to do one more segment, if you don't mind. We're going to talk about maybe the last 8 years, kind of do a little bit of a look back. But I want to talk about that, and then I also want to talk about the election that's coming up.
Oh, you got it.
All right, Governor Ducey is going to stay with us for one more segment. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Continuing our conversation with Governor Ducey, let's talk about the last 8 years. Looking back, biggest accomplishment or two, what do you think of? What do you think you'll be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for?
Well, first, I want to say that we're leaving the state better than we found it. And the thing that I would want to point out is our economy has been transformed. When I came into office, it was call centers and construction. And God bless call centers and construction and service workers and home builders. We have more of that than ever. But now we also have high-tech, high-paying jobs. I had people that were saying, hey, I love it here, I'm never leaving, but my son or daughter who just graduated from college can't find a job here. I haven't heard that in 5 years. Things like Taiwan Semiconductor, Lucid, Nikola, battery manufacturers, all of that is going to pay dividends for decades for the state of Arizona. In addition, we've invested in border security. This budget has $540 million for border security, which is a real positive. And while doing all that, we've got an excellent relationship with Mexico, which was at rock bottom. But I think most of all, Mike, and we're on the air, right?
Yeah, we are. Okay. There's like some distortion in your voice. You sound like a robot right now. So
okay.
It's okay. We'll work through it.
Well, in addition to that, what we've done with educational savings accounts, the American Civics Act, we've been the exporter of good policy across the country. And it's hard to believe, but the size of our government by headcount is smaller today than it was in 2015. You can rein in the growth of government while our private sector is incredibly larger with much more abundant opportunity.
How about regrets? Anything you wish you had accomplished or gotten done that didn't happen, or something you wish you'd have done differently?
The one thing that I want to complete before I leave is this desalination project. That's why I'm in here coat and tie and not flip-flops and tank top. But soon enough, but we still have 180 days left. I'm going to work every moment. I'm going to be governor till the day that I'm gone. I'm going to make sure that every judicial appointment is filled, every committee, every board is going to have good, responsible, conservative leaders.
Let's talk about this election coming up and where Arizona goes next. Are you going to endorse a candidate in the primary? Are you going to stay away from that? What are you going
to
do?
I've said that I reserve the right to endorse someone in this primary. So more to follow on that. I'm watching the race. I'm also leading the Republican Governors Association. We've got 36 races around the country. We're off to a great start. But in this business, you are what your record is. So I'm in the business of electing Republican governors, and that includes the state of Arizona.
Well, you're here now. You might as well go ahead.
I mean, let's soon enough, Mike.
Not soon enough, because I wanted to be here. I understand why you're reserving the right. But let's talk about the moving forward. The next governor is going to be able to take what we've done. You took what, Jan Brewer stopped the bleeding with that legislature. You've taken us to where we are. Where does the next legislative session and the next governor need to take Arizona?
That's what Arizona voters are going to determine in the next 26 days and through this election cycle on November 8th. I think every incoming governor wants to stand on the shoulders of the success that has preceded them. Of course, on the Republican side of the aisle, we've got a different philosophy. We believe in people. We want to provide opportunity for people. We think that responsible growth is good. What we see on the left is a top-down, one-size-fits-all. Through COVID, we saw a closet authoritarian strain. That's not what Arizona wants. This is an independent state. 73% of our adults came from someplace else, and they came here because it's a better quality of life and there's more opportunity, and that's what we want to continue.
So we've got the other statewide races, including the Senate race. When you look at those races, how important is it from your perspective to have Republicans hold those seats? Is it something you think is as important as the governor's office?
I think it's as important now or more important now. Now, of course, I'm kind of attracted to the governor's office because the governor's got a real job here. They have a responsibility. They have to manage a budget. They're in charge of headcount. The outlook of the state, the way the state is presented to the country and to the world. But of course, the Senate seat matters. And I do think it's going to be a good year for the good guys, since now we're talking politics. I think we're going to take back the House of Representatives. I think you're going to see Juan Ciscomani win that congressional seat in southern Arizona. He's been endorsed by Kevin McCarthy, and he's one of the young guns. I think Kevin McCarthy is going to be the next Speaker of the House. I think we're going to take back the majority in the Senate as well. And my job is adding additional Republican governors across the country. And we're on offense, Mike. The state of Oregon just came online. That's how expansive this map has been. And it's because of the behavior of Democrat governors throughout COVID. People are saying, we don't want that. We don't want our schools shut down. We don't want our businesses shut down. We want to make our own decisions. And Arizona's leading the way with educational savings accounts. Our parents are the ones who are going to be in charge.
I always appreciate the time.